SBR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
To the Visionary Activist Show, where we will be hearing a portion of my Winter Solstice Celebration animation. For those of you who've been hanging with me, you may well hear some familiar material that just leapt out of my mouth, wanting to be voiced at this time of unfurling horror and defiant joy. So, here we go. Welcome, team. Welcome, wizards, witches, and those who've been in witness relocation programs until now. So, Oya is sort of the feminine trickster who hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change. So we are here at the winter solstice we've never needed so much. Can't be canceled, can't be canceled. The winter solstice can't be canceled. So I love Terry Pratchett's phrase, we are convening in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world. Whoa. So, yes, as we know, some of you have been hanging with me for a while, and some are like, what the hell is this? You know, the trickster is that which we see in nature. It's coyote, it's raven, it's seeds that sprout after cataclysm. It's a part of us that comes alive in dangerous times, that it likes against all odds, so now is perfect. And we go, apparently things weren't against all odds enough, you know. As Leonard Cohen said, dying on election day, you know, his wonderful song, Democracy is Coming to the USA, but he died on election day, so he's like, ah, screw it. But his great album he gave to us while he was dying, you know, it's got that great song, You Wanted It Darker. So I go, like, we guess we wanted it darker. So apparently so. So we are here to dree our weird. Weird is a wonderful word. It means destiny, you know, and then it shape-shifted due to persecution and to mean all kinds of things. But to dree our weird means to play our role in destiny. And it's like in different groups, I've been in many groups where people were talking about, you know, my trauma. And I was like, what's your trauma? And they're like, I forgot, but it's bigger than yours. trauma competition. And I suggested, I go, how about the next time we're tempted to use the word trauma, we replace it with the phrase, my dangerous, beautiful assignment, right? And some people were like, no, I like trauma. But then they came back, it's my credential, but then they came back the next day going, that was very interesting, again, liberating, because that's part of the dynamic. You know, whatever we've been through, whatever underworld we've gone to, you know, our weird is to brew the medicine antidote to give to others who are following along behind. So our dangerous, beautiful assignment, woohoo, is here, onward into the dark with what jauntiness we can muster. Remember, there's myths, big animations of nature, mythic figures, fairy tales, more local, customized, intimate passing on of knowledge, symbolically embedded, and detective novels, the oldest of which found so far is 231 BC in China, in which it says, the purpose of the dedicated magistrate within each person's heart is to descend into the underworld in order to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven and earth. And we go, right. And so detective novels through time offer us some crucial guidance. It's good to have a buddy. It's good to quip. It's good to whistle in the dark. It's good to be jaunty. It's good to have stories. And also, especially when meeting up to no good people, you know, to have one's weird, very clear, because what happens in 231 BC in the Chinese detective novels on is up to no good people will meet us and say, I was going to kill you or rob you, but I can feel that you're authentic, so I actually want to change sides. This is all going to be really important to us, team, but I have underworld skills that you will need. We go, welcome aboard. So, you know, here in D.C., I often talk to whistleblowers at the NSA. Now, remember, they were in the NSA for 40 years before they were like, after 40 years, that's enough. You know, and we like the concept. Again, we're encouraging things. We are artists of atmosphere. We are public dreamers. You know, like when you have a solution of water that we, you know, you stir sugar into it and it dissolves and it dissolves, and then you add one more grain of sugar and it all falls out of solution. Right? And I think that that's where we can go, too, which is, you know, enough, and then enough people going, oh, I was going to do terrible things, but no, I can't. I can't. We want to waft this out into the memosphere. So here we are at the solstice, as people have gathered for 20,000 years. And what is that about? You know, it's the death and resurrection show. You know, all over the world, you know, a literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illumine this painting, this writing at the back of the cave. Come on in, power. We don't source power. We invite it. You know, and this is the guiding story. This is the story that we are inaugurating. Again, words are magic, and we remember that the word inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner within each one of us, who would walk out into nature, and nature, through her patterns, would reveal the responsible human who would then be inaugurated. So we're going to do a kind of parallel universe. You know, in many fantasy novels, there's the dystopian world, and then one is constructing the ideal world, and at a certain point, one's going to pull the switch on the train tracks and go, no, we're going over here. So remember, imagination lays the tracks for the reality train. All these powers, we don't need more powers, but to avail ourselves of the considerable powers that we have. The ancestors have a joke for us. They're hovering around, and they go, here's a good joke, oh, you modern humans. If you replay horror films backwards, everyone gets healed by chainsaws, and then we all go camping, right? So we're going to play this movie backwards. So I have Muti. I have Muti. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. It comes from the Sangomas of South Africa. And I have it with coyote hair from my beloved Stella Coyote, my half coyote dog who's been companion for 18 years. And she's maybe beginning to drift. And as I went out the door, I go, I'm doing it for you and your people, you know, so that humans are more respectful. And she's like, tell them to speed it up, all right? Okay, there we go. So I have coyote hair and tobacco from Syria. In fact, I have a bag of tobacco from Syria if you want to take a little pinch with you before you go home. Again, we want all the mutis, all of that. So, beautiful Syria. So we say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, of citizen trickster, you know, residing in each one of our hearts, awaiting this moment of dire beauty, you know, open the path for each one of us that we may be of maximum good while having the most seriously dedicated fun. There we go. So, you know, in the immortal words of my fellow trickster David Grimes, who called up after the second George Bush election, and I was on the floor, and he said, no, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. I'm like, oh, God, I needed that. Speaking of George W. Bush, a spooky thing, you know, his paintings, he's begun to paint, you know, soldiers who've been injured in the war. And he says, I'm painting the pictures of soldiers who were injured in the war because of me. He's not doing the dead, but, you know, and the Sabian symbol for his son, S-U-N, when he was born is an old man faces the dark in the northeast. So we go, okay, maybe even that, you know. We are here to inaugurate Guiding Story, yes, Tales of Trickster Triumphing Over Tyranny. Remember just things to take away in your magic backpack. You know, the oppressor inadvertently seeks the medicine of what he oppresses. So it's something to work with. Again, take away. You know, it's like England really needed the metaphysic of India. America really needs the beauty underneath the roiling and sadness and chaos of the Middle East. We really need the blessing and exquisite beauty and metaphysics of that. And again, whoever's oppressed, it's like the oppressor needs that particular medicine. So we go, so let's be the balm, B-A-L-M, right, and brew the balm. And we are tracking back to the originating operating spark, the original spark, before anything was bamboozled, swindled, hoodwinked, conned, forced into state servitude. One of my great allies who's here tonight, Patricia Ewing, great early Christian scholar and also good-hearted political cahooter. You know, she calls St. Paul the early Karl Rove, taking the liberating teachings of Jesus and forcing them into servitude. Because part of what we get to do tonight and in this season unfurling before us is, when did this unfurling horror now, this grotesque cartoon, begin? You know, the war on reverence. You know, when did this begin? We go, oh, it's way back, you know, way back to the originating spark. You know, the Norns, the wise women, you know, are before the Norse gods, you know, going all the way back and dedicating to that original liberating spark. You know, it's like remembering Neil Douglas Klotz, Aramaic scholar, who says Aramaic is the language, the vernacular Jesus would have spoken. And what comes to us as blessed are the meek, he says, in Aramaic is more like, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. We go, oh, there you go. And something I use all the time, but I think we need to refresh a lot. He says, when Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, Neil says, the word Jesus uses for serpent is the same word for Eve and wisdom. So I go, Eve, wisdom, serpent, same word. So all subjugation of women and poisoning of the earth, you know, and religious wars is basically a translation error. And he goes, pretty much, you know, intentional translation error, but we're going all the way back, all the way back. So I love Lewis Hyde says, Coyote is lucky if enough con men show up to school him or her. And we go, ooh, we're really lucky. We're all in Trump University now, being schooled by con men. And, we are here to surrender our conniption fits, you know, into the cauldron, into the end of year cauldron. But there is so much, like, oh God. So Mega Yikes, time for Citizen Trickster to arise from this winter solstice cauldron. And Citizen Trickster is an evolving part of all of us, you know, drawn to this danger. And it's kind of like Bodhisattva Coyote. It's trickster and liberating in service to the well-being of the collective. And if we cook even politics back to what is it supposed to be, way back in its originating spark, a dedication to collective well-being, we go, oh, we want to keep that. So the latest, I mean, there's so many, right? I mean, we all have, you know, Trump's authoritarian instincts have long been one of the scariest aspects of his rise to power, but his embrace of a private security force isn't helping matters, right? He's got his private army, right, that he's going to keep, and we go, whoa, it's time for Trickster. It's time for Trickster and all of our skills. So one of the things I practice myself, again, we trade things in, we throw things into the cauldron and ladle things out. So I find every day quite useful to replace I've got to with I get to. Because I've got to is really outsourced authority or Saturn, and we're at the Saturnalia where we all want to inhale our own autonomy. So I've got to is like an obligation that sets up resistance and infinite procrastination for those of us who are subject to such things. But I get to is an embracing to dree our weird. You know, we get to protect democracy. How wonderful! To dree our weird. But I love doing our gathering here at this activist hub because we are quite near Trump Hotel, right? And part of why we're here, of course, is inching the ring of power into the crack of doom, which I think is probably right under Trump Hotel. It's right underneath it. So part of our skill set, as many people know, you know, again, the sky earth story, more heartening than what passes for news, you know, the mythic news. So Mercury, communication, was stationing and retrograde on December 19th, just behind us, when the Electoral College was to meet, causing some of us to have hope that they might do their job. But it's also, I love Keith Olbermann saying, you know, in his rant beforehand, going, you know, the Electoral College is there to protect us, you know, many other terrible things, but to protect us, it says, in case of emergency, break glass, right? But they didn't. But it's still a Mercury retrograde when that election took place, which is insubstantial, you know, to be reversed. The Electoral College has revealed itself to be irrelevant. You know, if they're not going to do it then, you know, then we're throwing them into the cauldron by the end of this evening going, that's it. If you don't do your job, there, God. But we also, Mercury reminds us, again, the retrograde reminding, remembering the power of language. Language, story, metaphor. So in a collective complicitous sense, we've all just gotten smoked on our strong suits of language, story, and metaphor. And I did go to both conventions on your behalf. I went to Cleveland, and I went to Philadelphia. They were quirky, and in different ways. But in Cleveland, I had a good time talking across borders one-on-one, you know, with the Alabama right-wing delegate for Trump, who was a little too flirty, going, you can move your hand now. But I said, I have a game. And he's like, I like games. Because remember, we are all moving our emotional default setting to woof, woof, want to play. There's about to be a lot of released energy of disappointment and crazy and chaos, you know. And we get to also direct that, like, who's a good chaos? Yes, you are. Over there to the Dementors. There you go. Disrupt that thing. So I said to him, well, here's a game. I have some quotes, and some of them are from Trump, and some are from ISIS, which is really called Daesh. And he goes, all right, I'm game. And it was really easy. It's like, we are gathering, we must destroy the world in order to create it, and, you know, and everybody called to a mission. He goes, well, that's Trump. And I go, that's ISIS. And he goes, ha, got me. And then I talked to a man who we were smoking many things on the top of the roof. And I go, Trump delegate? And he goes, why would you think that? No, I'm for Cruz, because Trump is an insane person. I go, Cruz is not. And we talked, you know, and I said, so you must feel quite alienated. And he goes, oh, and I go, well, remember the word ecstasy means to stand outside. I said, so you have an ecstatic relationship to this convention. He's like, I like that. Very good. And then he said, guess what I do? I go, huh. And he says, I live in Oregon. I go, you grow weed. And he goes, yep. I'm the second largest weed grower in the state. And you guys say, you never know. You never know. And, it's true that one-on-one, playful. When it was gathered, it was, you know, how many people had to read Shirley Jackson's The Lottery? Do you know that short story? Okay. It's a short story that many of us had to read in high school. And it's about a community that's very, very nice, right? But the way they stay nice in this toxic mimic faux way is once a year somebody gets a bad lottery number, and they're put in the middle of the stadium where they're hated to death by the community, and then the community goes back. And so the Republican convention was a little bit like that, right? There was vituperative hatred. And I remember when I left, I really did stand under the cleansing stars and go, oh, we're in trouble. I mean, I knew it. We're getting smoked on our story and metaphor. We've got this con man. See, when it was the con man and the trickster, when it was Trump and Bernie, it was a relevant conversation. Because one of the things I did in Crossing Borders, talking to Trump people, going, let's start where we agree. We all want to know how we're being bamboozled, right? And they're like, absolutely, right? So Trump was like, here's how you're being bamboozled, and it's by those people, right? And Bernie was like, here's how we're bamboozled, and here's what we're going to do. And I do have to praise his expanding and subtle and increasing influence, because of all the politicians, he did have story craft. You know, and he did, you know, remember, we all have our magic mirror. The secular critic holds up a mirror and goes, look, it sucks in detail. And then with a wave of the hand, turns the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. And with another wave of the hand, turns it into a door. Let's go. And Bernie really did, you know, mirror, window, door. He really did that. But so when he, you know, when it's not him, because after the convention, I was like, oh, our only hope is Bernie. Oh, okay. All right, sure, Hillary, what the hell? Okay, we got to do it, you know. but I knew, because there was Trump doing multi-level marketing, saying, I am here to deliver to you the change you've wanted since you were born. I'm like, oh, man, people are falling for this. This is terrible. Okay, hoodwinking. So the power of language, Mercury stationing says, let us all remember this powerful technology of intimacy, language, story, metaphor, that we not get smoked on it. You know, language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can journey there. so many people got, so many people got bamboozled by their desire to not be bamboozled. And I like, you know, hashtag we've all been conned, right? Because part of how to not get snookered into polarity, we want to throw polarity into the cauldron, you know, because if we go, you got conned, right, then you're in a polarity thing. Remember that wonderful John Michael Greer's great learned druid says, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, and you will only get heat in an already too hot world. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. We're all in this thing together. So for each person, all of us here, to be increasingly effective storytellers, magnetizing invitational story. You know, come on over here. You know, as Alan Watts says, no sense clinging to the rocks that are falling with you. You know, come on over here. Come on over here from the thing that's going down, because there's a lot about to go down, to that which is coming up. You know, a culture of reverent renaissance rising from the rubble against all odds, against all odds. There is a beautiful thing that just is late-breaking news. Sierra Club. President Obama protected 118 million acres of our Arctic and Atlantic oceans today. Celebrate and send thanks. We go, all right, because you can see him going out the door going, and save that, and save that, and save that, and, you know, pardon these people. And so we want to see, again, let's throw churlishness into the cauldron. Again, you know, we see people connected to their own wise autonomy. And we want to support Obama, you know, on his way out, you know, with the pardoning and going, all right, we see you pardoning Leonard Pelletier, pardoning Chelsea Manning, pardoning Edward Snowden. Just give the Dementors complete tantrum yoga conniption fits. Come on your way out, going, there we go. Because as the unfurling horror is before us, we go, God, they're so organized. You know, as Eddie Izzard says, you know, what does evil look like? What does evil schedule look like? Death, death, tea, death, death, lunch, death. We can hardly get down to the gym, you know. So they're so busy and they're so organized. And that's why, how many people here saw the, one of the best television shows of the last year, Brain Dead? Anybody? Oh, all right. It's on, available on Amazon. I highly recommend it as a useful metaphor. It doesn't sound like you want to see it, but you really, really do. It's space bugs from outer space are taking over half of people's brains, starting with politicians. Right? And the symptom of it is you thrive on conflict. You are unwilling to compromise. You write all in caps. No, 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 no. And then they're skewering everybody, and you give up drinking, and you only like green drinks, right? So they're getting everybody. But it is a very useful, you know, hashtag space bugs. You know, there is a cure. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, it's really worth watching the thing, but there is a cure, which is chocolate and quite a lot of sex. We'll drive the space bugs out of your brain. So one of the best gifts that was given to us also from Standing Rock is changing the word protester to protector. Great move.
Yeah.
Because as yes, exactly. Because as people know, or probably, the word protest comes from testes, Leviticus. It means to grab your balls. So that's why women can't testify. We can ovify. but so the protest, you know, pro means for, and test is balls. For my balls. You know, so it used to be protest against the war, right? But that's kind of you're losing energy on a U-turn there. And then the against got dropped. You're protesting the war. So just because language is magic, you know, but to move it to protectors, you know, I've often said, let's replace the word environmentalist with sane, reverent people. You know, sane, reverent people had this to say today. You know, Republicans came out against sane, reverent people. We go there. We have in our audience a champion dreamer, my friend Virginia Daly. I've been using her dream that she told me just now, you know, comes from 20 years ago. But it's so perfect for now. So in the dream, our dreamer, Ginny, there's a dark figure stirring a cauldron, a dark evil figure stirring a cauldron. And the voice in the dream says to the dreamer, you must take hold of the stirring stick and stir the cauldron in the other direction. So the dreamer makes her way slowly through the air, incredible resistance, slow motion, and then finally, the minute she touches the stirring stick, the evil wraith-like figure dissipates into air. And then she slowly begins stirring the cauldron in the other direction. This is it's a very good physical thing. Feel free to stir the cauldron here. We need everybody stirring the cauldron in the other direction. We go, oh. That's so perfect now for so many reasons. Because part of, yeah, and take that home with you, that stirring the cauldron the other day. When you're watching the news, go, ha, 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 ha. No, that's what you think. Because remember, Mercury retrograde at the beginning of this whole thing, you know, says reversal and slowness is our friend. You know, that's why I brought Turtle. I brought all my props. I brought Turtle. Because part of the great skill of Idle No More and our allies at Standing Rock is slow the bad things down. Slow them down. The contracts run out on December 31st. Slow it down. Slow everything down, and may all bad things, by the power of Turtle, be way too expensive. You know, already Norwegian Bank has pulled out, you know, I mean, all kinds of things. We go, yes, make it all slow way down. So part of the dream, why I love that dream so much, is by the time we get to the end of this year soon upon us, I'll say the astrological phrasing, and each planet represents a quality of living intelligence within each one of us, and as we name it, it quickens and comes alive. Right now, Uranus, which is trickster, is at 20 degrees of Aries. There's 30 degrees to every sign. And it's stationing. It's inward, inward, inward. And then on the new moon of December 29th, it goes forward, outward, outward. And so Uranus really is the spirit of democracy and freedom and revelation and trickster. So it's inward now. You know, and then getting ready to go outward. So another very good physical metaphor is as though, let's say we all have a quiver of arrows. You can feel it on your back. And each arrow is tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. And so we, in our mind's eye, take one arrow out, and we have a bow and arrow here. So in one hand we have the bow, and in the other hand we're pulling the bowstring and the arrow back. And the bowstring and the arrow go, oh man, I'm not making any progress. I seem to be going backwards. But the bow says, no, you're really going to like this. To the extent right now that we pull in and backwards is the extent of forward velocity, serendipitous synchronicity movement. At the end of this year. So Uranus is at 20 degrees of Aries. Jupiter, which is the intelligence of storytelling, is at 20 degrees of Libra. Saturn will be at 20 degrees of Sagittarius. Little planetoid Chiron will be at 20 Pisces. There's a beautiful symmetry. So the story-stirring cauldron, it says there's wild stories, wild stories, wild stories. Turn of events, you know, Wheel of Fortune. Whoa, ah, boom. But the stirring stick is Saturn. Saturn in Sagittarius, which is the story-stirring stick, gives it stability, going right. And whoever, again, who's stirring the cauldron, and we all are, who's telling the story, whose story are we in, you know, that's the powerful dynamic. So Ginny, I asked her, because I've been using that dream, because I find it so perfect right now, to take hold individually and together of the story stirring stick. There we go. And it's an invitational, you know, come on over everybody, we're doing this good thing. And so she sent me a little more background. It's a dream from 20 years ago, and she said it was a time in her wider wanderings camping through North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming. There were close encounters with a herd of elk and a huge grizzly. It was also during a vision-filled night in my tent on a ridge overlooking the Tetons that the dream you like so much was sent to me. And she said the dream also reflects hexagram 18 work on what has been spoiled, the wind at the base of the mountain. The wind removes stagnation by stirring up public opinion, and then the mountain gives nourishment and tranquility so that it all may grow again. So I got that email, and I go, oh, I just now threw hexagram 18, which is that very same thing. It was 46 changing into 18. And so 18 says, corruption and pestilence work on what has been spoiled, has supreme success. Cross the great water, right? Again, the dangerous, beautiful assignment that we have. Embrace work. Correct abuse of human freedom. That the ending be followed by a new beginning. That's why we're here. Stir up the people. Regenerate society. There's a vase, this is Stephen Karcher's version of the I Ching, there's a vase containing five poisonous beings, a scorpion, a centipede, and other things. They're put in a jar and they're left until one has killed and eaten the others. And we go, well, that's kind of the Trump administration right there. says poison and black magic, evil deeds, you know, done manifest in their, by the parents, manifest in their children. We go, ooh. But the I Ching says, you are facing something that has turned to poison. The right time to enter the stream of life with a goal, embrace significant encounters. You know, 3 days after this, we go, okay, there we go. And journey into the world of great symbols. We go, right, well, that's what we're doing. We're journeying into the world of great symbols. And I got in hexagram 46, changing to 18, and Jenny said, oh, I just sent you 46, because Jenny is one of the most fantastic painters in the world of spirit coming through nature, and the I Ching. And 46 is, wood reaches upward, overcoming obstacles with no haste and no rest. I, too, am adoptive, devoted, ever rising. And we go, oh, that's really good. So part of our cahooting tonight is, you know, to throw things into the cauldron and ladle out. You know, so we go, well, autocracy will be good to throw into the cauldron. I love what Van Jones is doing, you know, the what he calls the love army. But I go, you know, he could use some, a little bit of language and story crafting. Call me Van. Because there is all this resonance, you know, as Mark Twain says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. So we had 11-9 kind of related to 9-11, you know, and 11-9, you know, 1938 was Kristallnacht, of course. And in the 1930s, you know, very different experience in Germany and America. America was having what's called its Neptune return, the return of its soul. So we did Social Security and, I mean, all those things. Germany went a different way. But so there is this resonance that we want to not spook ourselves, but to, you know, throw things into the cauldron. And the crucial image that I had when I was leaving Cleveland was, I think Trump is possessed by a cunning demonic retrovirus, right? Because it shapeshifts. And I like the metaphor of possession. And it's part of, there's a saying that says the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. But it's the group mind, the memosphere, is the realm of greatest influence for the trickster within all of us. To spiral things into that dream world, into that collective mind world. You know, and so that's, you know, part of our assignment, our dynamic. I love Nihad Awad saying the Muslim community will lead the fight to preserve the U.S. Constitution. We go, that's great. You know, already things going around, you know, are, you know, first they came for the Muslims, and then people go, not this time, mother bleeper, you know, or daughter bleeper more pertinently, right? You know, we know, you know, what's what the unfurling horror before us is, you know, the Trumpians are dedicated to, or I call him Trumpelstiltskin for the longest time, because remember in the fairy tale, Trumpelstiltskin is bad, and he sets the impossible task for the heroine. Again, nobody gets out of the underworld, nobody solves the riddle, nobody overcomes evil by themselves, and very often a fairy tale motif is, you know, each one of us is set an impossible task, and they can't, which we can't do, until we finally ask for help. And that's where the backstage realm of, you know, spirit says, ooh, that's great, because we like to help, but we have to be invited. And that's when, you know, like, the ants and the mice show up going, you were kind to us when nobody else was. We'll help you out here. We'll sort these sesame seeds from poppy seeds by morning, you know. But we'll also, you know, help you to guess Trumpelstiltskin's name, which is the thing. And when she does and defeats his evil, he stomps his foot so hard that he plunges into the underworld. And we go, yeah, I think that's a good trajectory. You know, the tantrum yoga Trumpelstiltskin thing, going, falling into the thing. So we do love that. That's why, you know, at this time, you know, the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times, you know, we go, yes, citizen trickster to be born in the heart this solstice. Because we are gathering, you know, this solstice Christmas time. And remember, you know, solstice, the sun, solstice, stand still, for about 3 to 4 days. I mean, if we were watching, you know, out our window with landmarks, you know, the sun would be, you know, rising further and further south until now. And then it stays there, pretty much, rising at the same spot through the 25th, which is why Christmas is part of this deal, and then it slowly begins setting further north. So I also love, you know, Christmas as an omni mushroom festival. Does everybody know this particular story? No? Okay, I I do love it, and mycologist told me this. In the north, the shaman dresses as the sacrament, red and white. And red and white mushrooms grow under fir trees. and reindeer love to eat them. And then the people drink the reindeer piss because it filters out the dangerous alkaloids in the experiences of flying. And they all go to the North Pole, which is the center of wisdom, to bring wisdom down each smoke hole, each hearth, so that wisdom is born in each heart during this powerful and beautiful time. So I love driving around with the lights and the over-commercialization going. It's just like a DMT trip, really. People, they're just trying to get off, in some toxic mimic way, but they do want to get off, and that is part of our dynamic. So the long war on life, this absurd, uninitiated Mars, quirky, demonic animosity to reverence, does begin long, long ago. So we want to kind of reach way back to retrieve this liberating spark and going way back. So, we gather everything from all of our journeys. Going back also to when I had the great good fortune to be in Syria when it was beautiful. It was still under tyranny, but it was so much a part of the Syrian elegance. I remember my friend Deborah Felmuth, who lived there until quite recently, married to Muawiyah, again, only recently had to leave, of course. And we went to the last Bedouin tent makers in Damascus, and it was very cramped and long, but these men were doing this incredibly elegant dance in cramped space while making us Arabic coffee and telling stories. And I go, oh, that's such a metaphor for the quality and beauty of Syrian culture and intelligence. Elegant dancing under tight circumstance, that's how it was then. We went to Aleppo. And it was so, again, intriguing. As we drove into Aleppo, my friend Deborah said, "It's still here," as though she knew. Oh. Ha! So she said, "We love the souk." So the souk in Aleppo was the oldest continuous souk in the world, 2,500 years of continuous marketplace until now. I went and bought a little Arabic coffee maker, and they poured liquid tin in to re-tin it, and they polished it. And then we went a couple of booths down, and way in the back I go, "What's that? What's that?" Here it is from Aleppo. It's journeyed to us. Wow. And Deborah said, "I've been here, 15 years. I've only seen a few. You better buy it." And the wonderful person selling it, he said, "I saw that you bought an Arabic coffee maker and you had them polish it for you. I recommend that you take this home and polish it yourself," right?
Oh.
So it's here now, again, having made its journey from Aleppo. Nice. And then, see, everything there was so powerful. We then wended our way, because Deborah said, I can't get lost in the souk in Damascus anymore. I used to, but I can always get lost in the souk in Aleppo. Again, 2,500 years old. And so we wended our way to the fundamentalist mullah calligrapher, beard, scowling, not happy to meet three Western women, until, you never know, my friend Deborah introduced me to him as an astrologer, and he bowed in respect and completely changed his demeanor. I'm going, "What's that?" And she said, "That's because it means something here." I'm like, wow. So then he did this beautiful thing, and we wish all of these people so well. He wrote beautiful poetry, the power of language. He wrote beautiful poetry, with vegetable ink on rice paper, these beautiful words. And then he put it in our tea so we could drink the words. I go, ooh. So again, well-wishing to him wherever he be. And then we had friends who took us to the very, very heart of the souk, 2,500 years at the very center of the souk. But it's challenging to get there. It's like a beautiful maze. And there's this spring. There was this spring. And he said, 2,500 years ago, this was the first mental health hospital, in the Middle East. And people were healed by listening to the sound of water. So we want to reverence water, and we're so grateful to Standing Rock for, again, saying, we are standing up for Mother Earth. Water is sacred. Casting off any vestige of cringing or shame to speak of what we love as living. Free to join in. that is our kinship with water, our kinship with the ocean. For as long as humans have recorded history, our imaginations have been tied to water and to the ocean. And we say, you know, what species would poison the collective water supply? And we say, a species that had lost its mythology of conscious kinship. So only a healing of our imagination will allow us to heal the ocean, and only the healing of the ocean will allow us to heal our imaginations, both. You know, and this water as sacred, again, this defiant, powerful. And look at the atmosphere in Standing Rock, so powerful and wonderful ally, Faith Spotted Eagle, you know, where the veterans come to apologize. And it was on Custer's birthday, December 5th, right? So we go, oh, there's one less angry ghost. Pah, gone away. There we go. And to set the atmosphere of respect. You know, and remember, the word respect means to look at again. You know, to set the atmosphere of respect going, this is what we're doing. You're welcome to participate in this atmosphere. So even with all the people coming and building their tents and yurts in the floodplain and being guided to gently, you know, do the thing and the incredible, you know, again, they maintained, you know, peaceful, loving heart, even with the incredible violence thrown at them. It's powerful, powerful magic. When we say, you know, the ancestors are beckoning, come back to this ancient deep place before sallying forth. It says, you know, for all of us, the re-wedding of activism and animism is the unbeatable combination, which again we're seeing so much in Standing Rock. That's what works. To protect water, become like water. You know, to protect wolves, become more like wolves. And I love in The Wizard of Earthsea where the young wizard, through arrogance, has opened a great rent in the world and invited in a dark and horrible, kind of like now, it's like campaign coverage, all right? You know, and so he goes back to his original authentic teacher. He's being pursued by this demonic thing that wants to take over him and use his skills for up to no good. And his teacher does not admonish him, does not wag fingers, but just goes, so here's what you got to do. Go back to the waterfall that gave you your true name, you know, and as you watch the waterfall falling into the stream, do not be like the sticks swirled in the stream, become the stream. And then you may go forth, and the pursued becomes the pursuer. Then you can reverse the whole dynamic. So that's part of what we're doing here, disguised as whatever we think we're doing. You know, and we go, right. So we're going back into a deep place, again, 20,000 years of ancestors behind us all over the world. This has always been a powerful time. You know, and as we know, again, those of you who've been coming for a while, you know, wonderful chant that Starhawk taught me in 1981. That's right. I left Washington, D.C. on Reagan's inauguration going, that's it, and now I'm back. Oh, boy, what? But it is, you know, the longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night, right? That's part of our dynamic. So, you know, we want to prime the pump a little bit, too. What do we want to throw into the cauldron? We'll be doing this in some time. But, you know, the Electoral College into the cauldron, just a little bit of... a little bit of etiquette when you're invited to shout things out. We don't use proper names, so we don't throw Trump into the cauldron. But the demon possessing Trump, maybe, you know. You know, and it's again, you know, we're allowed to set in motion the power of fierce blessing. You know, we're allowed to spiral forth anything that we would happily welcome. You know, so when Wanda Sykes said, Rush Limbaugh wants Obama to fail, I want Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail, we go, it's cute, but it's not trickster. What trickster would do is we would wish Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to work so well that they flush all the poison out of his system and leave him in a pool of befuddled innocence, right? So more like that kind of dynamic. But, yes, the Electoral College, you know, into the cauldron, we'll be doing some of these, whoa, fun things. There's also, how many people, did anybody here way back read the Illuminatus trilogy? It was a kind of, there you go, okay. And remember, they were up, it's a complex, interesting, fantastic conspiracy, fabulous tale that's also liberating us from false conspiracies. But they said, the news media uses a word that you can hear but not know that you heard, and it creates intense paralysis and anxiety. And the word is Fenord, right? So the news people would go, good evening, Fenord. And we wouldn't hear Fanord. We would just get a sense of paralytic agitation and like, oh, whaley, whaley, we can't do anything. So I love that Fanord. So we're going to throw Fanord into the cauldron just for the fun of it. Fanord, you know, the bamboozling, the bamboozling. And then from Terry Pratchett's last novel that he wrote when he was dying, The Shepherd's Crown, it's so beautiful and wonderful and pertinent to us in so many ways. There's dark forces invading the beautiful Shire-like place, and the fairy queen, who was bad but who has turned, is talking to the witches, right, and saying, you have no idea what you're up against, the false glamour. And the witches say, we're witches, we're not subject to such things. And the fairy queen says, let me just give you a little taste of that fun. And all the witches go, ah, it's sort of like Galadriel with the ring. Ah, but I am truly the beloved of Saint Germain, and I am one of the 144 fantastic people, and I will, whatever the thing is, and then, oh, I'm nothing, I'm just a terrible person. And then they go, wow, that was really strong. The false glamour. And so she teaches them a chant, Yon Ton Tethera, which dispels false glamour. So we might just do it together. Yon Ton Tethera. Yon Ton Tethera. Again, if you watch the news on TV, remember Yon Ton Tethera. Yon Ton Tethera. Yes, and I was muttering that during all the conventions, you know, and there, Yon Ton Tethera. Snap. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. Because we are here to be, again, citizen tricksters, agents of snapping people out, intrinsically liberating. You know, may our speech, our manner, our story, you know, our metaphor be in accord with our dedicated hearts, and may our fundamental art form of liberating blessing, you know, may we tease. You know, part of the power of the winter solstice is we can't even be who we want to be by ourselves. You know, that's why we make vows going, oh, this is the direction I want to go in, hold me to this, right? That our manner of relating be intrinsically a liberating blessing, and we go, you know, and you know, and social media and Facebook, you know, we all blow it. Like in fairy tales, you know, we blow it. As Robert Bly says, you can get eaten by the witch 3 or 4 times, you know, but if it goes on for years, you'll get pretty thin. But so we all blow it. We all forget to ask the right question at the Grail Castle. We all get booted out. You know, we all blow it, especially on Facebook. I quipped to myself, Facebook was so rough today, I unfriended myself, going, well, there we go. I've had it with me. Yeah, and people very thin-skinned. You know, I posted a wonderful thing that Van Jones was doing, and somebody was like, well, that's, you know, terrible and whatever. And all I did was write the words, that's silly, and bang, I was blocked. You know, I was like, within a second, I go, that's really thin-skinned, boy, wow. So Facebook is quirky, but you can feel collective intelligence on Facebook and Twitter, in which also you can feel when it's time to leave. Like, no, don't react to that, right? Because the part of the dynamic of what's the con and what's the liberating trick, since we love freedom and democracy, to react to anything is not free, but to carry around a portable prison for oneself and others. To cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses, you know, is to be allied with nature's evolutionary ingenuity. So we want to be first responders, not first reactors, right? Like, oh, it's so terrible. And it's like, no, first responders. And part of what we also want to throw into the cauldron is being snookered into polarity, going, whoa, the thing, because that, again, that's just heat in an already too hot world, you know, and then the inviting in of the unifying story. So this is how I want to be. I do often blow it, but, you know, when people kind of come up, but that's why we're practicing the art of peace, which is spiraling. Remember Morihei Ueshiba's great little handbook on Aikido, remembering all of our skill set now, you know, snapping out of being bamboozled. And in the art of peace, it says, do not stare at your enemy's weapon. He will terrify you. Do not stare at your enemy's eyes. He will mesmerize you. Create your own magnetic field, and then you can sit anywhere you like. Right, really useful. And again, allying oneself with the forces of nature, you know, the forces of beauty. You know, right after 9/11, I got to take a plane out to California and work with a big event, you know, and I love somebody handed me a note before I went on stage going, thank you for not giving up on beauty. It's like, whoa, that's really great. And to everybody right now, the backstage gods go, thank you for not giving up on beauty. Beauty is powerful. And we see it, you know, in so many ways. And again, we remember strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating an intimacy with the power of symbols and dreams and metaphor. These are magnetizing invitations. They reside in our mythological DNA, you know, to be kindled, to be brought forth. Yeah, many people who are here that I've learned things from, you know, and learned things in addressing. And so to a friend who was angry, I go, what would be the blessing? I would wish your anger to turn into desire, you know. So for all of us, may we have our anger, our Mars, turn into desire, meaning angry about this, so what do we desire? Again, desire is the thing. So it's good to be aroused, and then to cook it into desire. And then a universal desire. Doesn't all life seek safety? Don't we all want that? You know, with the wave of the hand. Language, you know, into the cauldron we might want to put privilege, right? Privilege etymologically means, privilege means private law. We go, well, there you have it. That's so wonderful. It's so revealing. We want to throw, you know, metaphors that are not serving our fundamental dedication into the cauldron. I'm very eager and enthused to throw into the cauldron the metaphor of holding people's feet to the fire, right? Because that's a torture metaphor, right? That's Gitmo. You know, why not toast us some more and, you know, offer them chocolate around the thing? You know, and also wolf in sheep's clothing. It's like, no more dissing wolves and no more dissing sheep. You know, and any animal employed metaphorically to diss humans only does a disservice to the animal, right? You know, what a weasel. Oh, sorry, weasels. Weasels only diss other weasels by calling them like that weasel's so human, right? It really goes the other way around. This crucial concept of ally etiquette, Jornus the trickster says, the last ideas associated with Jornus are democracy, equality, synchronicity. So we want to tease democracy into our manner of all our manners of relating. And I was wondering, you know, what does democracy, equality, synchronicity, how do they connect? And really, no sooner did I wonder, because wonder is a wonderful thing. Certainty is a booby prize. Wonder's great. You know, the backstage ancestors are like, ooh, to not know, but to be full of wonder is a great accomplishment. It's like, look, those people have run out of certainty. Now the divine can find them and inspire them, you know. So to not know is crucial, but to wonder, again, wonder attracts the kind of revelation coming on in. And in that Neptunian wonder, I forgot what the next thing was. But anyway, if anybody knows what I was going to say, yes, ally etiquette. Right, because no sooner did I wonder that, right, than events staged themselves in a very clear way that on stage we have different roles, but backstage we're all equal. And if our manner of address is equal, hi, how you doing, straight across, which doesn't mean nice, because nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant. We can be spicy. I like Dorothy Parker saying, I get up every morning and I brush my teeth and sharpen my tongue. Satire is liberating. Sarcasm is a con. You know, there we go. But when we treat each other as equals, hey, straight across, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. And I know this is true. I just proffer it to experiment with. You know, and it's very heartening because it means that, you know, the dementors of doom, more money, more lawyers, more whatever. But we, if we treat each other well, straight across, hey, how you doing? Then there is the serendipitous synchronicity of the right conversation, the right person, the right funding, the right thing. And we are here now, cooperators are standing by, you know, eager by our internal dedication to unfurl, you know, a resonant field of increased serendipity and synchronicity. Like, again, it's so heartening. It so moves our kinship. Just even when, you know, when Virginia Daly sent me the thing going, and the dream is associated with hexagram 18, I go, I just threw that. Oh, God, there's meaning in the world. You know, again, synchronicity is so heartening, right? And so we're entering into this field of positive intrigue. Remember the great utopian Fourier said, in any ideal community, we must allow for the passion for positive intrigue. Because when people conspire to do something good, it draws upon more elegant parts of the psyche than before. And I realize that we need our Ogun song. Thank you. Okay, that's good. Okay. And just to set that up a little bit, you know, we say all the myths are hovering around us. You know, myths don't end, they get put on pause, and we want to hit play. Right? So the Arthurian legends, and December 21st, the winter solstice, is King Arthur's birthday. It's the birth of the world redeemer in each person's heart. That's what we're here dedicating to. What do we want to be born in our hearts this season? What qualities do we want? What qualities of trickster? What qualities of backup do we want? And so remember, the Arthurian legends, it was an experiment of the round table comprised of shining, radiant, equal individuals. You know, and the experiment was to have spiritual people engaged in governance. Right? But at what passes for the end of the Grail legend, the Arthurian legends, all the really hip spiritual people go away, right? And that's why the world is as it is. Merlin goes off with the nymph, and Arthur goes off to Avalon to take Pilates classes with the priestesses, you know, whatever, to await the world's call at a time of dire danger. And we go, now would be really good, you know, to call back positive yang, positive masculine leadership, to dance equally with positive feminine leadership. And here's a song to help us do that. Yo, team, we have been listening to a portion of my winter solstice presentation at Busboys and Poets in Washington, D.C., right near the Trump Hotel, where even now they are strong-arming embassies in our nation's capital. I toil, bad cosmic turf is what District of Columbia actually means as an anagram, you know, into switching their reservations to that. Anyway, so we're pretty sure that the crack of doom is under the Trump Hotel, where we are inching the ring of power there. There we go. So we are calling back King Arthur, High John, the positive yang, to dance with the positive feminine. You know, and for the whole recording, you can go to Coyote Network News, where this will be available for download. And that includes our rousing finale, in which we toss the revealed-to-be-irrelevant Electoral College into the cauldron, along with polarity. No, we will not be snookered by polarity, you know, into polarity. And also, we will not be snookered by our desire to not be snookered, bamboozled by our desire to not be bamboozled. There we go. And we ladle out defiant joy. And remember to take hold of the story-stirring stick. All together now. It's just such a great physical thing. Here we're doing it all together, and we're stirring the cauldron in the other direction. Yes, it's thick. It's against the momentum, so stirring it all together. Let's see us all stirring the story, stirring cauldron all together in the opposite direction. Oh, there we can do it, team. There you have it. And thanks always to Erica Bridgman, our board op, and to Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C. again. And let's see us all not only stirring the cauldron in the other direction, but, you know, but also simultaneously inching the ring of power into the crack of doom. We can do it, team. Calling all magic, calling all democratic animism, allied with everything we love. Remember, to protect wolves, become more like wolves. To protect water, become more like water. Here we go into the wild story maelstrom. Woof.
We're almost there. Your tax-deductible donation has helped KPFA get closer to reaching our goal and kept this year-end fund drive short. If you haven't donated yet, please help us close the gap at kpfa.org. If you've already donated, please follow through on your pledge to support the only independent media outlet for news, public affairs, and music. As the new year approaches, there will be trouble ahead, and you can count on KPFA to stay as vigilant as always. Thank you.
Cleve Jones, long in the San Francisco heart of the struggle for gay, lesbian, and transgender rights, helped change gay history. He'll tell the story Wednesday evening, January 25th, 7:30 p.m. at St. John's Presbyterian Church, 2727 College Avenue in Berkeley. This KPFA benefit has wheelchair access and free parking. Tickets at brownpapertickets.com and our independent bookstores. Richard Walensky will host the inspiring, often outrageous Cleve Jones, January 25th.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5.